Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the lab of the world famous Hollywood Improv. Everyone make some noise. We're excited to have you here for Story Smash. And now, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the creator and host of Story Smash, Christine Blackburn.
Hey, welcome to Story Smash, the storytelling game show. My name is Christine Blackburn, and we have a fantastic show ready for you guys tonight. We're going to get started right away and reveal the Wheel of Stories. There are 12 permanent topics on the wheel and one additional space that says free. If the contestant lands on free, then they can choose any of the topics on the wheel. There's also three additional spaces that say audience. And if the contestant lands on audience, and they always do, then you guys get to shout out your favorite storytelling suggestion, and our expert judges will choose one of them to be the contestant's story. Yes?
Yes.
Are you excited to be here? All right, let's get it started right away and bring on our very first judge. All right, you guys, this guy is an actor and a comedian and a travel and foodie expert. Now, as an actor, you've seen him on Seinfeld, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Tracy Takes On, and The Ben Stiller Show. And he's also won 3 Emmy Awards for Chicago's Windy City Live. But here's my favorite thing about this guy. He was the host of Fox's hit dating show Studs for 580 episodes. Put your hands together for Mark DiCarlo! All right, you guys, coming to the stage right now is an actress that you've seen on the HBO hit Succession. She also was in the feature film The Descendants with George Clooney, and she was in the Comedy Central hit Reno 911. This woman has a fantastic YouTube channel. Honestly, you have to check it out. Check it out as soon as you get home. And put your hands together now for the wonderful Mary Birdsong. Yeah, do it. Woo, work it. All right, you guys, our final judge tonight is an Emmy Award-winning television writer and executive producer of ABC's Modern Family, now in its 11th and final season. He also has a book out right now I hold in my right hand. It's called He Started It. It chronicles the Twitter war with him and President Donald Trump. Please welcome to the stage our very favorite judge of all time, Danny Zucker! Woo! All right. Now, this is exciting.
Very exciting.
Danny has been on this show almost 20 times. You realize that?
Yeah, I have no social life.
That's a lot. Now, what's so exciting is for Mark and Mary, it's the first time on the show.
Our social lives are ending.
So, Danny.
And we met on Studs, obviously.
We did, actually. Show 574.
Yeah, you go ahead and explain the game.
Oh, I'm not going to do that. Well, you'll spin the wheel.
Yeah, not me.
No, the contestant will.
Yeah.
And hopefully they won't spin it too hard because it goes forever.
Too long.
And then it'll land on something. They'll
right.
have 1 minute to tell a story.
Exactly.
Second round. They're going to have 2 minutes to tell a story. And then we will argue amongst ourselves.
Yes.
To pick the two best to tell a 3 minute story.
Right. They go on to the final round.
It's amazing.
And here's the thing. If you go over your time, contestants, you're going to hear this sound. And that's bad. That is very...
You might even hear that sound if you don't go over your time.
That is very, very bad. That is not what you want to hear, but that's going to happen. So watch the clock, and watch the clock, you guys. You're responsible for your own time. And you guys, get ready, you know, to cheer them on, to comment. This is not easy, you know.
It's not. And can I just say, you've seen the belt.
Yeah.
Okay?
Very
and now
good.
It's coming off, because I have a horrible stomachache.
Oh, okay.
Take That's the world tight. Welterweight belt, isn't it? Oh, it's reversible. Look it.
Look.
Hooker, nice gal.
Let's put it on later
Which
for the picture. All right, you guys, we have four comedians coming up to the stage, and there's also one more person in this jar that is one of you audience members, and that's a lot of fun. You guys will be coming up telling somebody's going to come up play the game. It's not easy, again, so no. We'll be very, very nice to them.
It'll be easy for me, but...
Yeah, easy for you. Yeah. All right, you guys.
Why
let's
does he
get
his own thing there? Well, he's got a music stand. Is that after 15 shows you
That's
get a music stand?
That's what happens.
It's just that there's like a gold watch.
There's a clock there, and I just I've co-opted it for my drink. I have a drinking problem,
not
Mark.
Cool.
Mark DiCarlo, I have a drinking problem.
How are we doing on the smash sound? Is it back there? Okay, that's what you're going to hear. You do not want to hear that, because if you hear that sound, then your story is, in fact, over. Oh. And we go right to the judges. But right now, coming to the stage, I just pulled the name right here, and she's on her way right up right now. This contestant, you guys, she's an award-winning screenwriter, a filmmaker, and a comedian. And she's been named one of ISA's top 25 screenwriters to watch in 2019. She also has a popular podcast. It's a post-apocalyptic. I knew I was going to mess up this word. Mary Birdsong. She does. She has that. She has that. It's a radio drama. It's called One More Day. It's available on YouTube. You guys, please welcome Wendy Jean Wilkins.
Wendy!
Right, you guys, tell her what to do.
Spin that wheel. Crowd favorite.
And we're off.
5, 5, 10.
Okay.
School days.
School days.
So in third grade, my parents got divorced, and my mom got a job at IBM working third shift. So we ended up living with my dad, and we moved onto a golf course in the middle of Apple Lake in New York with my grandma. And so it was great. It was fun. It was like the best playground. So I go to school, and I make friends, and by the end of the year, I have a boyfriend, and his name is Pat, and he's got red hair. And we, every day at the playground, would talk about the very last day was going to be a huge like party and everything. And we were going to sneak away during playground and go kiss into the woods. And this was like planning for months, and our friends were in on it to make a distraction and everything like that. And the day came, and it rained out. But years later, Pat and I re-saw each other, and we ended up making out in a parking lot at the mall, and were able to kiss. And when I say make out, that means blowjob too.
Whoa! Wendy Wilkins! Wendy Wilkins! Put your hands together. That was fantastic.
Wow. Kind of a real sixth sense ending there, you know?
Like, yeah.
She was blowing him the whole time.
Wow. That was exciting. I didn't see that coming.
No, not
neither did Wendy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Mark DiCarlo.
Well, any story with a blowjob in it is good in my book, Wendy. I would have liked to see you get it on in the woods, though. You said into the woods, the shitty Sondheim show or actual woods?
Woods.
All right.
Actual woods.
All right. I thought you told it with verb and panache and
a beginning,
just
a middle, and
yeah. I followed along and I felt like I got blown along with this guy.
Yes, that's always the goal.
Which is the key to storytelling.
Yeah, so much that his mic just
fell. Yeah.
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 Mary Birdsong.
Hi, I'm Mary Birdsong. Nice
Hi,
to
Mary.
I liked the environmental aspect. It had a sort of a gravitas, a sort of a Joni Mitchell, if you will. Turn it all the same to go. You don't know what you got to lose. Gone.
Paradise. Blown in a parking lot.
Thank you. I went there.
Wow, it went.
Yeah, and we made out in a parking lot. Yeah.
So,
okay.
Wow, big yellow blowjob.
Yeah.
Is that a new rule, though? Is that officially like a new rule? Because that's about how long it's been since I've made out.
Am I now
expected to give a blowjob if I say makeout party?
No,
yes.
That's just me. Like, if I say I kiss somebody, I just kiss them. But if I say I made out with them, that is code for blowjob, too.
It's like an upgrade, like a premium plan.
Yeah, exactly. That's just how Wendy is.
I need you to talk to a lot of women in my life.
Wendy Wilkins, give her a hand, you guys. Wendy Wilkins. That was a great first round.
If you say blowjob, what does it mean, Wendy? Okay.
Okay, you guys, I just pulled the audience member's name, so this is very exciting. Jim Coughlin here helping me out. He's going to give Danny Zucker the jar. Danny's going to pull out the name of the contestant. And you guys, really, we got to give him a lot of love. This is very hard. A lot of music. Who's playing?
Iris Braden. Come on now.
Iris!
Oh, my God.
Iris Braden. Give her a big hand. Be real careful right here, sweetie. All right, you guys, tell her what to do.
That wheel.
Spin
that wheel.
See, she didn't hear that note, did she, Danny?
No, she didn't hear it, but I didn't care. She gave me kind of a lap dance on the way in, so fine.
If it was Wendy, it would have included a blowjob.
Wendy got us in the mood.
Oh my God.
I warned you about the, yeah, points off for that. Oh no.
Okay. This is really.
I had a good story about an audience.
Hang on. This is very exciting because this is the part of the show where you guys get to yell out the stories that you've been wanting to hear all your lives. And Iris is here. And you know, she's out of the audience anyway. So she's honestly probably going to do the same, whether she landed on something or what they give her. Don't you think?
I mean, I have super low expectations. Don't you?
Super low.
Super low.
Yeah. All right, you guys, from this area, what story do you guys want to hear? No, you can't be on the wheel. Blowjob, what else?
Wait, her friend has an idea, and I bet it's a good story.
What is this? What did you recommend? What story do you
That's
recommend?
That's a kind of generic recommendation.
Girl power.
All right, what do you guys want to hear over here?
Bear in the woods.
First date.
Losing virginity.
Dating in Los Angeles. Dancing, dating.
Okay. You want Danny in Los Angeles? Your friend wants Danny in Los Angeles, or okay, is that good?
I want you to pick.
That's so much pressure. Dating in Los Angeles.
Genius. Here she goes.
I didn't see that coming at all.
All right, dating in Los Angeles. It's been a fucking nightmare. I'm ready to settle down, but yet I was in denial for so long. I just turned off the app 2 weeks ago with 91 open chats that I could care the fuck less about after my last experience. This one guy seems like a good guy, cute, whatever, has all the right answers, possibly has money, which means I don't have to pay his rent. And he goes, the first thing he says to me at all is, can you handle the challenge of a son? I was like, yeah, I love kids. My first degrees are in elementary and special ed and early childhood, sure. Then he goes, you have to talk to my 18-year-old son who has to screen you before we go out. So his son starts texting me. It gets perverted. I get, like, nervous that I'm going to get arrested. Oh, sorry. I thought I'm loud enough anyway. And the 18-year-old is like, are you curvy? Will you come over to our house instead of meeting for coffee like my dad suggested for the first date? Long story short, that doesn't happen. I tell the dad to grow some balls and start talking to me in my own subtle, unconscious, like, just why don't you chat with me way.
Sorry, we have to continue.
Okay, we have to
continue. I'm going to allow 15 more seconds for mic adjustment.
Okay. All right, mic adjustment, okay. Yes.
So here we are. So the son texts me the next day and starts saying, will you be my sugar mama? And all these other inappropriate things. And I scolded the shit out of him and told the dad that he's doing a real disservice to his son and that I'm going to report him to Hinge, which I didn't do. But at the end of the day, dating fucking sucks. I mean, who uses their 18-year-old to screen someone?
Okay, Iris. Very nice. Very nice. Stay right over here. No, stay with us. Okay, Mark DiCarlo.
Well, my first thought is there is no daddy. It's the 18-year-old. And if that's true, if it's all him, he's a fucking genius. He's a fucking genius. And he's telling all his friends in high school, I'm hitting up some very attractive older ladies. Did you actually talk to the dad orally?
Pussy wouldn't call me, pretended he was tired two nights in
a row. He doesn't exist. I say it's the 18-year-old. 100%. And I give him props.
I have seen this porno clip so many times.
Did he bring a pizza over to your house?
I know this very well. It's like, oh, Mrs. Johnson, my dad's not home, but really having trouble with this math homework. Algebra's so hard, let me take out for my pants. That type
Algebra
of thing.
Is hard. Oh, speaking of hard. Do you like trigonometry?
Mary Birdsong, what'd you think?
On that segue, first of all, huge props and extra points for accessorizing.
Yeah.
The chainmail bracelet
nice.
Is to die.
Yeah. To die.
That's
you
from
could have
Python
opened
and
your
the
mouth
Holy Grail.
And said, and I would have given you 6 stars.
We
also,
don't use a star system. But.
Extra points and stars and gold. I'm going to give it all from Mary Birdsong. Okay. Extra points for great opening line. It was a fucking nightmare, something to that effect.
Oh, thank you.
My only criticism is I don't know why you would have scolded the lad, because that probably was a turn on. You may have wanted to just...
I scolded to cover my ass in case, like...
Yes, I understand, but I'm just saying he may have been titillated because of the whole, you know, will you be my older
I thought it was legit. I'm a sucker. I'm too nice.
No, nope, stop.
You eventually went out with him, though, right? The 18-year-old? Is he here? Is he here right now?
Iris, you guys, let her hear it. Iris, come
Very
on.
Very good job.
Right down
he can't get in, but he's in the parking
okay,
lot.
Go right that way.
You know what?
All right, you guys.
That was a very good job from an audience member.
Yeah, it really was. All right, you guys, come to the stage right now. This contestant, he has had stories appear on The Moth, NPR, BuzzFeed, and Risk. His own solo show, Bad Kid, was a New York Times critic's pick, and his memoir of the same name was released in 2015 by Harper Perennial. He won this show last month and the month before.
I was at that one, but I was at the last one.
He won 2 months in a row. Wow. Put your hands together for David Crabb. All right, you guys, tell him what to do.
Spin that wheel.
It's a nice spin.
A soft, soft touch.
What is with
He's
the
Oedipal
this.
Stuff tonight and the electric stuff?
Mom.
Way to make it weird. My God, it was a lovely story until you made it that I wanted to fuck her. Yeah, okay. So my mother is a little redhead woman from Newfoundland, Canada. She has very big bosoms and she's 4'10". She's like a very top-heavy leprechaun. And she is enchanting and wonderful and kind, and she loves to, like, she loves a good prank. And she tells me she doesn't, but she does love it. And I pranked her in so many ways. And not long ago, her and my father got divorced when I was 2, and he's managed to live near her the last 43 years of my life, because it's twisted. And I was talking to my dad, and he told me, he's like, you know, I saw a Stanley's carpet cleaner van in front of your mom and stepdad's house, and I got an idea. So I called my mom at work. She works at a church in children's education, and she answered, and I said, hi, Mom is Earl. This is in Texas, P.S. And, you know, we had Stanley Steamer come out and clean your carpets the other day. And, you know, I'm embarrassed to report this, but another thing I do is I raise thoroughbred horses. And, you know, the containers we use to collect their semen look just like our carpet detergent. And I'm worried. And my mother gasped. She went, no! It was a good prank.
David Crabb. Wow, that is a good prank. Yeah, Danny, you had your mouth open the entire story.
Yeah, I have TMJ, but so
anytime someone says horse semen, your mouth open.
No,
that's strange, Danny.
Who's doesn't? No, who's doesn't?
I don't think I'm going to top that mark line. No, I like any story that involves washing something with semen of any kind, and I'm not. I don't want to be speciesist. Like, it could be anything, but very good, very good. Nice prank on your mom. Did she take it in stride?
Oh, yeah. Well, whenever I call my mom at the church to do a prank, what happens is she doesn't realize it's me, and then I hear her go off phone to be like, it's my son!
Aww.
And then she giggles, and everyone loves
Aww.
It. And she says, stop it, I hate you and I love you. She likes Aww. It, yeah.
Mary Birdsong.
I just need some clarification. So wait, so the church sent over Stanley's carpet cleaner to clean her house?
Yes, they're a stringent church. No. They happen to have had their carpets cleaned, but my father, who's their neighbor, saw it. Told me, so it gave me the idea that I could call and be like, hi, I think we've accidentally vacuumed your whole home with horse cum, which was like the long and short.
Yes. Okay, now I see.
So I thought it was going in the direction of she was having an affair with Stanley of Stanley's Carpet Cleaners.
Oh, we'd be rich.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm a little disappointed on that end. Otherwise, fantastic!
Mark DiCarlo.
Yeah, I've seen those documentaries where the poor guy has to climb underneath the horse and put the glass. It's like a... those things at the banks where they put the money in, that's what they look like, but you put a horse dick in them. And anytime you can put that into entertainment, I'm all for it because I love animals.
It's called animal husbandry.
It sure is.
Mark.
It is.
All right, you guys, David
How
Crabb.
Do you pick up a gal if that's your job
yeah.
in a bar? What do you do? Collect
animal,
horse jizz?
Animal husbandry. That's right. All right, you guys, coming to the stage right now. This guy is an actor and a writer and a performer. You've seen him on lots of shows all around town, like Risk, Don't Tell My Mother, Radio Picture Show, and his own show, Story Tasting. He also currently hosts a podcast with David Crabb, who was just here. You saw him a minute ago.
So incestuous.
I know. It's
insular.
Called A Special Presentation. And he's here right now. You guys, put your hands together for Jonathan Bradley Welsh. Tell him what to do.
That wheel.
I don't even think I need the sign anymore, Danny.
Yeah, it's bad luck. You got to use it.
I think I don't. Oh, you think I do need to use it?
Contractually, you have to.
I see. Okay, right. I forgot about the contract.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Birthdays.
Okay, so I'm just going to take this out.
Wait a minute.
Can I? Is that against the rules? Oh, my God. Okay.
Don't make her get the belt.
Birthdays, it... That's actually very frightening. Okay, it was my birthday this week, so thank you very much.
and a dear friend of mine, Ed, who I don't think is here tonight because I'm about to throw him right under the bus. Ed took me out for drinks last night. And we were sitting there having drinks, having a great time, and we got on the topic of conversation of couples that look like each other. And it happens a lot in the gay community. You have, like, boyfriend twins. But in the straight world, you don't see it that often. And I said, I went to high school with a girl who I adore. She's wonderful. She married a man who looks exactly like her. So I took out my phone, and I handed it to Ed. And he was like, oh, my God, they do look exactly alike. You're right. They even have the same little snaggle tooth. And I was like, I know. How weird. And then he hands the phone back to me. And I was like, hey, was that little heart on the picture that I showed you before? Like, I don't think I liked that picture from a year and a half ago from the girl I went to high school with. Don't ever give your friends your phones. Happy birthday to me.
Jonathan Bradley Welch, perfect time. 1 minute.
Thank you.
1 minute. Yeah, Danny Zucker.
I have definitely, 2 a.m, done that scroll, and they need to everything on the phone says, are you sure you want to delete something? Or are you sure you want to like this picture of that girl who posted 4 weeks ago in the tube top? You sure you want to do that?
Yeah, that's bad. She will always remember you did that to her.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's a
nightmare. We all will.
Right.
Yeah. But that's a good story.
Mary Birdsong?
I am once again very confused. I'm so stupid. I don't know what's happened to my brain. But wait a minute. Why are you sad that you liked her picture accidentally?
When you post a picture from like a year and a half ago,
right,
and then somebody that you know from your past randomly likes that picture, that means that they were looking at your page and they went through your
feed. Went deep.
Yes. They went deep.
Yeah.
I am learning
so much from you.
We're all learning.
That was a great story.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mark DiCarlo?
Would have been a better birthday with horse semen.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Good story. Yeah, I didn't quite get that connection either. Mm-hmm. So now she thinks you're stalking her.
Yeah.
With one
it's
like?
The new rules. It's the new rules.
Yeah. I mean, we went to high school 19 years ago, you know?
Jonathan Bradley Welch! Let him hear it. Jonathan Bradley Welch.
It's a good point. We should have a long discussion about this.
We just let that get away from us,
really
Danny.
Did.
We
really
can't
did.
Let that happen,
I think
man.
You can go out in the audience like Oprah.
Coming up right now, you guys, is a fabulously talented person. She was a recent Primetime Emmy nominee for Outstanding Actress in a Short-Form Comedy or Drama for her role in Control-Alt-Delete. But she is best known as the first crossover character as the fan favorite Pepper on FX's American Horror Story, Asylum, and Freak Show. Please welcome Naomi Grossman. Wow! Amazing! Tell her what to do.
Spin that wheel.
Great spin.
Nice technique. Nice technique. A very gentle pull.
Oh, she's going to have this. Oh, interviews. She'll have that too.
Oh, I want to hear the Ryan Murphy one.
Okay, so there's a point in my true Hollywood story in which I actually quit acting cold turkey and decided to just, you know, get a real job as a Spanish teacher at the Beverly Hills Lingual Institute. I walked in and basically asked them if they needed a Spanish teacher, and they said yes, desperately, in fact. However, I should mention this. On their website, in like big bold print, it actually says, we only hire native speakers. Like, that was actually their one like defining characteristic. In any case, I probably should have Googled them before I went in because they brought this up, and I thought, shit. In the meantime, I should say, I was an exchange student in Spanish in Argentina in high school. So I speak fluent Spanish with a distinct Argentine accent, slang from 1993. In any case, so then when I... Oh, fuck! I'm not going to get to it, Smash!
Listen, we got to hear the ending.
Wow,
am I right? Don't we need to hear the ending of this story? Yeah.
You do.
That right there was an American horror story.
It
so yeah, just not knowing.
Here's how it ends. Basically, so what you need to know is, though, so, I mean, I was able to, I'm kind of able to, like, pull it off, right? So they're like, do you have a transcript from Argentina? And I was like, In fact, I do. Oh, I should also say, my dad, after he divorced my mother after 44 years of marriage and like bought a motorcycle and moved to Buenos Aires. Coincidental? I don't know.
Of course.
Anyway, the point is...
So you're in bonus time now, you understand that.
When they ask me, do you have like family for a reference? I'm like dialing home, you know, calling home. Anyway, the point is I managed to like get away with this. Not this. I am not getting away with this.
No.
But you're not.
No.
I worked there for 8 years and no one knew.
And amazing. And I love the really, I mean, if I may just jump in really quick, the concise landing of that story.
Let her hear it. Now was
like a good gymnast.
I did a very short spin.
It's all right.
I'm like a good gymnast, like Simone Biles. Was that her name? Biles?
Biles. Stuck the landing like Harry Strug on one foot. How's that?
Mark DiCarlo.
I heard a crack. Some fantastico. I think you appropriated the culture of an entire country.
I did.
Why did you quit?
Oh, I was working actress.
Okay, all right, cool. That's a good story. Though.
Mary Birdsong.
Naomi. I love that you speak Spanish because your name is Naomi. Yeah.
Noemi.
I can only say that name like this. Like, I'm a Gilbert Gottfried all of a sudden. My point is, Naomi, I'm not going to cry for you.
No, don't.
I'm not going to do it. I'm not.
No.
Because it was a good story.
Yeah, thanks.
Danny, anything else?
I have nothing to add. I feel like we might be out of time.
Naomi Grossman, let her hear it.
Thank you for coming. Grossman.
She's a stunning actress. You guys know that. Yes.
I've watched her on American Horror Story.
Stunning.
She's brilliant.
P.S. Yeah. Extra shoes. I will totally make you the winner if you just give me your shoes.
All right, you guys, all five names are going right back into this jar, and we're going to do the same thing again, but this time they get 2 full minutes to tell the story.
So for Naomi, 4? Changing Naomi, you're great.
She's from a different time zone.
It's coming up right now on the stage for a true two-minute story is Naomi Grossman.
Oh.
Tell her what to do.
Spin that wheel. Oh, my God. Somebody walk me to my car. I'm going to be nothing but positive.
Hold on. Oh. I'm almost there. Hold on. Oh, my God. I'm done.
Oh, Holly Weird. She's got this.
Okay. Should I make this really short now? No.
I'm not saying
gonna.
A word.
You just make it fabulous.
Okay.
I'm a gay man. I don't know what's happening.
So I don't think there's anything Holly Weirder than a... blind date with a closeted quadriplegic. I know you're wondering, like, how do you hide that? You crop your profile pic real, real close. Basically, a friend of mine, this is actually the weirdest part of it, is that a friend of mine put on Facebook, like, anybody want to go see Garrison Keillor's Prayer Home Communion? Which I really, really did. That's weird. Anyway, I answered the thing, as did this quadriplegic. And she was like, well, you can both go. So we did. We went. I wasn't clear if it was a date, although, you know, he basically... we made a plan. He was going to come pick me up like 3 hours early, which I should have known was kind of, right? We got a great parking space. I mean, it's a little manipulative. Wow.
You're doing great.
Oh, I have another minute. Okay, so here we are. We're literally on this date. He's like popping the bottle open like, woo! And of course, I'm like, fuck! Like, I can't drive your car. Oh, I forgot to mention him pulling up to my house. Like, I literally had no idea. And he is driving this van with, like, an elevator in it with his wheelchair, like, strapped to the floor, okay? And
go
which
on.
He actually yeah. operates with his mouth. Okay, so... And I am like
that's a key
speechless.
Point, I think, for later in the story. It's called foreshadowing.
I am in such shock. Anyway, okay, so yeah, we got great parking. In the actual show, he like again, he's with the bottle, and of course, I'm like, I made you know a little cheese and cracker, which of course I'm like, do I airplane it in? Like I don't even know, you know. I like balanced it for him to get with his face. Oh, and then the strawberries.
You have to keep going. You have to keep going.
I mean, there's not much more, except that, yeah, the strawberries are very manipulative. Like, it's just, you know, it was like, he obviously wanted me to, like, he wanted to suck on my fingers, and this was, like, a nice, you know, kind of way to make that happen, which is, I just thought that was unfair. Anyway, after, at the end of the night, this story is over. I'm just riffing now.
Yeah, we keep going. Well,
land it.
There was no second date, but
did you make out?
Oh no, but he did mention that he could have sex, great oral sex, which I did not take him up on. I mean, I did invite him up, but you know,
stairs.
There were stairs.
Naomi Grossman, great story, great story. Okay, Mary Birdsong.
Sometimes there are many flights of stairs to my vagina.
Yeah.
And I applaud you for making that clear to him.
I like the idea of a guy who takes you on a date steering his car with his tongue. By the way, I'm pretty good at oral.
Right.
I mean, you see, I made that K-turn.
Mark DiCarlo.
Did he address the fact that he didn't tell you ahead of time or that his pictures were a little misleading? When he pulled up, was he like, ha-ha, surprise?
Right.
Or was he like, oh, you're older than your picture? Because it's a man's world.
I have actually another question. Do you have his number still?
I do.
Because
and how was the show? Was
oh, I mean, listen, if you're into Minnesotan folktale songs, which I apparently am, it was great.
Wait, what was the news from Lake Wobegon? It must have been.
Oh, it was great. I mean, all the children were well-behaved. All the women were fine.
Mary, what are you into? Wait, I stepped on it.
Oh, no, I was just saying I was getting really hot during the story. Like, hot. It was just, there's something about a guy pulling up, like you said, driving the wheel with his tongue. Yeah.
Naomi like Grossman. Naomi Grossman.
Drop. Good job, Naomi.
Panty drop.
All Redemption.
Right, you guys. Coming to the stage right now for a true two-minute story is the one and only David Crabb. All right. Tell him what to do, guys. He already did that. You got to spin again.
I guess spin again.
It's very exciting.
Maybe he has two moms.
I barely have one. No, I'm kidding. She's fantastic. Let's see.
She's a top-heavy
leprechaun. Yeah.
Food.
Okay, great. I have a little nephew named Leo. He's 6 years old, and I love being his gunkle, and I love taking care of him. He's the best. And for a while, I love taking him for ice cream. He loves ice cream. And then about a year ago, I found myself avoiding him because this thing had happened where our little dog that we love very much, me and my husband, he had died over 6 months in a very tragic way from a brain tumor. And you know when you have a kid in your life and you're fucking depressed? You're like the plague, like just avoid, right? Because I didn't want my like little nephew Leo, who I love, to be like, what's wrong with Gunkle? And so I was avoiding him. And then one day, I felt like, you know, there's a pop song called All Cried Out. I woke up and I saw the ASPCA Sarah McLachlan commercial and nothing happened. I was like, I'm done. I'm done. I'm fucking done, right? So I was like, Leo and Leo's mom, let's go have tacos. So we went. We're having tacos. We're having a lovely time. And then Leo looks at me and he says, Uncle David, what's a tuber? I was like, what? A tuber? Oh, a tumor. And I described to him like a tumor and that's what Charlie had and that's why he's gone. And then he said, oh, okay. Are you sad? And he put his little hand on mine and all of a sudden I was like, I'm not. All cried out, and I just blurted out, do you want to go have ice cream? And he was like, yeah. It was 10 a.m. His mother looked at me across the breakfast table like, what the fuck? You can't not yes and that shit with a six-year-old. Do you know what I mean? So we go down the street. 30 minutes later, he's covered in Cookie Monster blue ice cream. We're walking down the street, and he's very little, so he needs to have the ice cream and the cone and a cup. And we're crossing the street, and he looks up because he knows he has to hold my hand, an adult hand, but he realizes he doesn't have a hand, so he looks at me, and he's like, what do I do? So I'm like, Leo, can I hold your collar? And he's like, sure. So I hold his collar, and we're halfway across the street, and he's like, it's like I'm on a leash. I'm like, mm-hmm. And then he says, if you want, Uncle, I can be Charlie now.
Oh, my
I collapsed on the sidewalk in front of a Forever 21, and I cried, and I could feel him crying on me. And then when I looked in the mirror, it was his fucking ice cream, because as I wept, he was just trying to, over my shoulder, get the fucking ice cream into his mouth.
David like, Crabb. Wow, great story. Mark DeCarlo.
Wow, excellent combination of true pathos and humor, and I think you've got a show in What's Wrong with Gunkel. Yeah, yeah. What's wrong with Gunkel?
I think we sell that in the room. Yeah.
I literally just wrote that down as a book pitch. So talk to my publisher. I have no publisher. That was a fantastic story on a gajillion levels. I don't even know where to begin.
All right, Danny.
Yeah, no, that was that had everything. That's like you had a beginning, you had a middle, you had an end, and it was sad and funny and.
Were you crying?
No, I'm dead inside. But I think, I think had my father ever thrown a baseball with me, I would be crying right now.
Yeah.
I really would be if he hadn't beaten it out of me. Anyway, it's a long story.
David Crabb, let him hear it. David Crabb. All right, you guys, coming right now to the stage for a true two-minute story. Put your hands together for our audience member, Aris. Come on up. Iris. Here she comes, guys. Tell her what to do.
Spin that wheel.
Oh, yeah. First.
She didn't know there was two rounds, Danny.
I know. It's a big commitment. Uh-oh.
There she goes again.
We're going to be here a while. Yeah.
So, Mark, what have you been up to?
Watching this wheel spin for about 5 minutes, it feels like.
Mary Birdsong, do you have a little Kellyanne Conway for us?
I don't know what you want me to say. Christine, this is uncalled for. It's unacceptable. And the wheel is almost done spinning. And his inauguration was a wonderful sight.
A little bit of water. We'll get some napkins right up to the stage. But it's just water, and that's
the
good news.
That's the smallest mess Kellyanne Conway has made.
That's what matters. At least
this is fake news.
At least it's not horse semen. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God.
Birthdays. She landed on birthdays. All right, give it up for her, you guys. Iris, give it up.
All right, so... my birthday is on Christmas Eve, and I'm a Jew, and it still sucks because you get the twofers your whole life. But one thing that sucked is I never got to go to school and celebrate my birthday with my friends and be like, oh, here's cupcakes. It's all about me. And so I had a narcissistic mom and a mom that controlled my, like, only by association narcissistic dad, who I only got to have relationships with through her controlling it all. But
not bitter
at all. No. I've worked it all out, except that I had a fight with my mom on the phone today after not talking to them for 2 months about the train incident of 2019. I try to label every incident. So, like, there's, like, the mouthwash incident of 2008 when I didn't talk to them for 2 years.
That's the worst one.
That was the worst one. All I wanted was fresh fucking breath, and it was such a struggle.
Yeah.
But that was, yeah, truly, truly. They're all fucking insane. But my birthday, when, like, cell phones were first out, but it was, like, a big deal, and I had a rich boyfriend who happened to look like a Q-tip, but he was, like, the greatest guy ever. He had a cell phone before anyone else, and it was, like, this big. So we're at what Jews do on, like, Christmas, and, like, there's a Thanksgiving thing, too, is, like, the Jew bash, which is either the turkey trot or the matzah ball, and that's all there is to do, because the rest of the Jews are in Florida celebrating, as you all the Jews in the room. I'm sure there's a couple, at least. Yeah. It's Hollywood. But, so it's, I guess it was, like, my 19th or 18th birthday, like second year of college, first year of college, whatever. And my boyfriend pulls out a cell phone. So I was like, who am I going to call? All my friends are here. I'll call my mom. Like, that was like the Jewish condition. Call my mom. It's like exciting. We're in the middle of the dance floor. And that was it. That was the highlight of the evening. So I decided to do something more fun. And I'm just going there. In the vein of making out equaling blowjobs, I gave a double hand job to my guy friend because we were always challenging other for who could be more slutty in like the, I'm a Jewish girl, so I'll never have sex because I can't get pregnant and like destroy my family kind of way. So that was it.
Iris.
I got a lot of questions.
A lot of questions.
Good job, Iris.
Come on up, Julie. Great
double
job.
Double hand
Stay
job.
Here.
Two guys or two hands on one dick?
Ooh,
so
gosh.
It was supposedly called going skiing, and it was like innocent because at the end of the day, it was in the backseat of Rachel Robbins' dad's like minivan.
She's
Astro.
A whore.
Did you wear snowshoes?
I was a trying to be.
Did you swallow them?
Cool girl.
I mean, for me, like, I can't even
all
do that.
All I know is it was about how long can I get away with this because, like, the dad's driving and he was only 5'2" and couldn't see.
Wait, you did it? You did it while the dad was driving?
Yes, that
Get the fuck out of here. That's great.
Danny Zucker.
Yeah, I mean, at times like this, I wish I could still get erections because I would have one. I swear to God. Oh, God, do I miss them. They were fabulous. No, that's a...
When a call to your mom doesn't work.
Yeah, no, that's
go skiing.
That's a beautiful story, and I admire your coordination. That's hard enough. Like I can't write lefty. I can't.
What kind of
imagine.
Car was it?
An Astro minivan.
Minivan.
Very hot. Wow. And this girl's dad was a psychiatrist.
I hope that was the only thing mini about it.
This was the girl who was the most perverted with her psychiatrist parents and got away with like fuck you mom, go fuck dad. Like she was nuts, and that's like why. Psychiatrist ends up being the most fucked up in the end.
Oh yeah, the kids are
they get away with everything because they don't know how to like.
Okay, wait, Mark DiCarlo.
Yeah, I'm
is
still
confused.
Struggling with the visual here. So the dad is driving you in the Astro van home from the mall.
So he's in the driver's seat,
and you're jerking off two 18-year-old guys in the seat behind him.
So let's say Mary Birdsong
we
was in the middle.
Pretend. let's do a dramatic reenactment.
Well, wait, who am I?
You be Danny Zucker. No. So that's what happened? Silently, you
yes, they were my good guy friends, and if you got to practice somewhere, you practice with your
right. Friends. But did the dad at any point ever say, "I'm going to turn this car right around"?
He had no idea. No.
I have some until good he backed guy up. Friends. I have
that was the fun.
Now
of it.
I feel like
the
I'm
dad
failing
had no
them.
Clue.
Frankly, because right. That's
was one of them Louis C.K. Iris, let her hear it, you guys.
Iris, that's a winner.
Wow, she Woo! Brings a story, doesn't
wow.
she? Coming to the stage right now for a true two-minute story is the one and only...
You paint with words.
Wendy Wilkins. Let her hear it. Wendy Wilkins. All right, you guys, tell
how are the
what
boys so quiet?
I don't know. I know. You figure just the dry hand job would hurt it.
Someone spilled carpet cleaner all over the back of the van.
Uh-oh.
Back in 1987, after I graduated high school, I started community college and I was working at Chuck E. Cheese. And Chuck E. Cheese was fun because every Friday and Saturday night we would go to somebody's house and have a big old fucking party. It would be awesome. And by the way, don't take your kids to Chuck E. Cheese. The ball crawls. Full of piss and semen. Anyways, it is gross there. Yeah, it's gross. Because we're just kids, and 18-year-old kids do a lot of nasty shit. So, anyways, one of the guys that worked there, his name was Conrad. And Conrad and I had a flirtation, but he was a dick. So, of course, I loved him. And he would say, hey, can you get me a ride home from the party? Which meant that we were going to go to the nature center right by his house out in the country. And I would make out with him. And so, and that happened quite frequently. And so, but... So that happened after all the parties, except for this one time, he had the party at his house, and I got really drunk, and we're standing by, I go to the fridge to get a Bartles and James wine cooler, and it's 1987, and he comes in the kitchen, he looks at me, he goes, so you're going to sleep over, right? And that's the moment I decided to lose my virginity. And I said, yes. And so I drunk as off my ass, stayed over, and we're up there. And we have sex. And he's having trouble getting it in. And then once he gets it in, he has no idea, by the way, that I'm a virgin. And the condom breaks. And he goes, what am I going to tell my girlfriend? Yeah, I was like, whoa. So I get up. I'm shaking. I pull on my overalls. And I... go
no
down.
No wonder she got late.
I run down to the car and I get in the car and I'm like trying to hold back tears. And as I turn the engine over, Howard Jones's No One's to Blame comes on the radio. Oh. And I burst out crying, and that's
boom,
how I lost my virginity.
Wendy wow. Wilkins. Wow.
No one ever is to blame.
You can give the blowjob, but you cannot not.
Mark DiCarlo.
Wow. That had a beginning, middle, and an end for sure. Yeah. I did not see that coming.
Neither did he.
Right. I thought it was a heartbreaking, wonderful story of a young girl stepping up to the big leagues, leaving, making out behind. And
Yeah.
I thought it had an understated elegance to it because of we had community college followed by Chuck E. Cheese. Overalls. It was like the Kennedys at Hyannisport. You took me there. You took me there. And we all have to have aspirations. And baby, you're mine.
Danny Zucker.
I yours, your virgin losing story, I envy it in a way. I lost my virginity with my girlfriend in high school, and it's going, and I'm, you know, eyes are closed, standard missionary, and it's like, whoa, and she's like, whoa, oh yeah, and I'm pretty good, huh? She's like, no, and I was having a nosebleed.
Oh, God.
I was so excited, and I had a nosebleed all over.
Well, that's not the way you normally orgasm?
My girlfriend's boobies.
That's a weird cum face. It really is.
It's a subcategory of porn.
He's really into me. Wow.
There's a quick follow-up. When Facebook came out, he was one of the first people to message me, and he said he immediately apologized for how he treated me the 2 years that we were like fooling around when we both worked at Chuck E. Cheese, because now he's a firefighter with 3 teenage daughters, and he's like, I totally get it now.
Wow.
I was
Karma's
so sorry. Like, he completely, and I said, you're forgiven. So,
nice. I get it, though, because... like, I never did this to women, and my daughters are such whores. Just kidding. Only one of them.
Wendy Wilkins, let her hear it. Wendy Wilkins. All right, you guys.
People don't like when you call your daughters whores.
Right now, for a true 2-minute story, this is the end of the round, and that person coming to the stage right now is the one and only Jonathan Bradley Welsh. Let him hear it.
Woo!
All right, you guys, tell him what to do. Nice spin.
It's been a running joke.
Mom.
Okay. Not to ruin the punchline at the top, but my mom is dead. And oh yeah. I mean, it's bad. It's really sad. I know what.
It happened. Totally alive.
So when my mom was alive, when she was alive, she was so petrified of travel, of everything. She was just afraid to to get on a plane, to get on a train. I grew up in Massachusetts, so she was like, I can't go to Boston because it's too scary. The traffic is so bad, and everybody's trying to kill you. And it's like, okay, wow. She never went anywhere. And so I always wanted to travel. So I was the person who would go out to California and take a trip, and she would call me every hour and just be like, have you gone anywhere near the riots? And it's like, that happened 15 years ago. And then she'd be like, has there been an earthquake yet? So after she passed away, I decided to take some of her ashes and go travel with the ashes. And National Geographic called the southern coast of Ireland the most beautiful place on earth, and I decided that I wanted to go and have a moment on the beach where I would scatter my mom's ashes, or at least a part of it, in a little, I took a little film container filled with ashes. And I went into the beach, went onto the beach, took my shoes off, went into the ocean, and I had a moment, and I was just thinking of all these like sad Billy Joel songs while I'm like getting ready to just like put my mom's ashes into the Atlantic Ocean.
You may be right.
Yeah.
Uptown Girl.
So I turn around as I'm about to do it, and I notice that there's a dog just like running down the beach, and he's galloping toward where I left my shoes. And I didn't have any other shoes. They were all back in Dublin. So I threw the ashes in, and they all stuck to my leg, and I ran to chase the dog and be like, no! And like with my mom's ashes on my legs.
And
Jonathan Bradley Welch.
The dog was your mom.
Yeah, I believe so.
She came back.
Yeah.
That is a great story. Don't leave me here. 2 minutes and 1 second. Mark DiCarlo.
You're being attacked by a dog. I'll save you.
Yes. Again, another delightful heady mix of comedy and heartwarming ashes. Yeah.
Mary Birdsong.
Oh, jeez.
You okay?
These duels are like 25,000 feet high.
Okay, a moment.
Yeah. I had to do that.
Thank you.
Because I sprinkled my mom's ashes like on the beach at the lighthouse and like.
Oh yeah, it's a moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a club that we belong to. But that was just beautiful and fucking funny, and I love the poetry of your mom. They can hear me.
I love the poetry of your mom being on your legs like, no, I'm coming with you. Are you all right? Yeah. How are you doing now? What about now? Oh, everybody's trying to kill you.
Why do you shave your legs?
Yeah.
Did you get your shoes?
I got my shoes, and then I went back in, and I just, like, let the water... Ashes are very, like, chunky, okay? So it's hard. They're hard to, like, get off.
They're clumpy. Yeah. You need to beat them on high for about 2 minutes.
Yeah, you need a big surf.
Yeah,
to, like,
and if you're at a higher altitude, you have to bake them for longer.
Danny Zucker.
No, my mom, sadly, is still with us. And and it's been hard on all the kids. She's 82 and she just won't die, and it's not for lack of having tried. And I'm sorry, it's every time I talk about this I get
it's so
why? Oh, but my dad's been dead for years, so we're fine.
Jonathan Bradley Welch, let him hear it, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, how exciting. That was the end of the second round. Now there's going to be one more round. You guys are going to go ahead and take two of these names and put them in. Two names are going to go in the jar. We'll put a minute on the clock. You guys have 1 minute to make this decision. And I did want to mention that the winner tonight, guys, gets my homemade chocolate chip cookies. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Okay. I also wanted to let you guys know that Story Smash is going to be back next month, October 26th. Tickets are already on sale. Lindsay in the front will be happy to sell you one. And I want to give a big shout out right now to Julian in the back on the sound. Thanks, Julian. Takes a lot of moving parts to make this happen. Julie at the bar, she's the one getting you drunk. Thanks, Julie. Jim Coughlin right down here. He helps me every single show. Thank you, Jim Coughlin. And this is... Okay, great. So that's exciting. Looks like they've already got their men. Are you ready already?
Yeah.
That was fast.
Yeah, these were not my choices.
Oh, I see. Okay, so there's two names. Put two names in there, Mary.
I'm Ruth Bader Ginsburg of this.
Okay. Yeah, okay, this
you
was...
made the, you were you brought I down
think,
the hammer?
I think both of these are a travesty.
Wait. Shoot, I'm sorry.
I mean, she put all of the names back in. Hang on. Let me pick up this name. And tell me, and then put two of those right in the jar, and those guys are going to come up and tell a true 3-minute story. Oh,
okay.
Oh, by the way, if you win tonight's game, you come back next month. So, you know, it's not just the cookies. That's what I'm saying. All right, you guys, come to the stage right now for a true 3-minute story is the one and only audience member, Iris.
Iris!
Iris is coming back for a true 3-minute story. All right, guys, tell her what to do.
No. Okay.
Not too hard.
Don't yell at me.
This does not happen that often when the audience member comes up, so we're very excited.
I believe
excited.
The last time this happened, it was with another audience member named
Iris.
Iris.
You know what? It's time's up. Enough.
Iris.
Enough.
Was that her last name? Just Spanish.
Break up. All right, here she goes. Break up.
Okay, let me think. Oh my gosh, why am I blanking? I have like 50,000 fucking breakups. Okay, so I broke up with this guy, not because he had a small penis, but because he talked about having a small penis all the time. And it embarrassed me. Like, I didn't care. The thing is, I guess I have a tilted uterus, so it was fine for me. But what bothered me was that he went and told everybody everywhere we went as the beginning, like a prerequisite of everything. Like if we're late for an event, oh, sorry, I have a small dick and it gives me like an insecurity. So sometimes I take a long time as a little fuck you to the world to get ready and get dressed. But everything was about his small dick. And he was 6'3", so he especially couldn't understand because he's like, I'm tall, it should be bigger, right? If he was black, he thought it would automatically be bigger, but he happened to be white and that was not... It just was, he called it the Irish curse, which I had never heard of. He was the first Irish guy I dated because I tried to honor my parents and stay with Jews, but that just didn't work for me. Because they want to be controlled and manipulated like they're used to from their mom. And I just was like, oh, I want an independent man who's got his own voice. So here I dated the Irish guy. Now, I didn't, again, I didn't mind that it was small because it actually grew to a somewhat decent size. But when it was small, I called it a mushroom cap to myself and my friends, not to him. But because it was like a mushroom cap
and
on
to your friends.
Skin. Like, not to him. I dare not bring it up because, again, I didn't fucking care. I liked him. I knew there wasn't a lot of potential because he was like a slacker frat boy type. But at the end of the day, we broke up because, not because of a small penis that I didn't mind, but except that I have a tilted uterus, so it kind of worked. But because he told everybody, and it was embarrassing. At the end of the day, I just knew that I couldn't pay anybody else's rent besides my own for much longer. And I just went for, you know, guys that were a little bit taller. No, just for guys, just for more security. At the end of the day, we got to love who we are, right? See how I'm wrapping it up and making it about spirituality?
Kind of petered out there at the end.
Petered out. Yeah. I did not. The just bottom line is, if it fits, it fits. It doesn't fucking matter.
Oh, here's a Johnny Cochran moment.
Everybody.
Ending with a big Johnny Cochran moment.
Stop telling. Oh, I have 3 minutes. Oh, my God. I thought I had two. I thought I had a wrap up. That was my petering out in Mark DiCarlo's perception. But no.
I have a tilted sense of humor, so it's okay.
Basically, he used to get excited if I would say ouch during sex. But I would say ouch because of my tilted uterus, not because he was really big. But that gave him a I'm a real dude kind of moment. So I let him have it. But no, he wasn't the right guy for me. But then I did find out, like, I asked the universe, okay, before I find the guy I'm supposed to end up with, because this was not my guy, can I have one big dick once? I want to see what it's like. And I did, and it was, somebody sounds like a grandpa laughing, and I fucking love it, with phlegm. No, but I got a big cock once, and it was just too much.
Yeah.
It's that was just the sound about your made. Perfect puzzle piecing fit. Yeah. Puzzle piece.
Yeah, it's a curse. It's a curse for us.
Too much, too little, too late.
Danny. Danny Zucker.
I'm reminded of the joke. It's an old joke, but this mouse is fucking an elephant. True story. And mouse is taking the elephant from behind, and all of a sudden a coconut hits the elephant in the head. The elephant says, ow. Mouse says, take it, bitch. Sounds like that's what was going on with your uterus.
Is this a mouse that you personally know?
No, not me.
Mary Birdsong.
But it's a good. I mean, what I the one other comment I'd make on the story was you presented it very much like someone doing their freshman essay, because you repeated the exact opening of the story when you got to. So in conclusion, it wasn't his small penis. It was. That it was talked about it, and I have a tilted uterus, which I heard
like
about.
To wrap things up.
She had a minute to go, so she was kind of stretching. I would think that's what's happening.
I was time conscious, just for you, Danny Zuko. Yeah.
He was stretch.
It's not Zuko.
No, she was.
I wanted to be Zuko.
She was stretching, unlike what his penis did to her.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was just gonna. You know what? Your story. Maybe your story wasn't big enough, but it didn't need to be any bigger. And also. Mushroom caps. Do you know what? A portobello mushroom is huge. Do you know that? Also, I love when people say that.
This
also,
was a button mushroom.
Yeah, okay. But the tilted uterus was my favorite ride at Great Adventure. And it. Such a nice soft.
You must
landing.
Be this big to ride that ride.
All right, Mark DiCarlo.
It was a good story. It's 3 minutes is a long time. For all things,
next
right?
Next time I'll prepare the penis story better.
No, but I thought it was delightful, okay. And it's interesting to hear about your anatomy. Is that something that can be untilted, or you're tilted for life?
I don't really need it to be untilted because, again, it's all about the fit.
Also, the right. Earth is tilted on its axis.
You're
the
right.
Earth is tilted on its... Right. You're actually in tune with the Earth, so you're right. Every other uterus is wrong.
Your uterus Iris. Has seasons.
Let her hear it, you guys. Iris. Very good.
Hey, she looks like Meg Ryan, this one.
Okay.
She's beautiful.
There she goes. Iris. Amazing. Another amazing story. And there's going to be one more storyteller coming up.
Yeah, who's it gonna be?
I know. I'm so excited to find out. By the way, Mary Birdsong, when this wheel starts spinning, we want to hear a little more Kellyanne Conway. Yeah. All right. But right now, let's give it up for the one and only David Crabb. David.
Oh. I'm going to spill water on you.
Here he comes, guys. Tell him what to do.
Spin. That wheel.
Nice
you know,
spin.
We have to spin.
because sometimes you guys don't understand the news, so we have to spin it a little, okay?
Hooking up.
Unbelievable. Go ahead, David.
Listening to Kellyanne Conway while looking at the phrase hooking up, literally, my mouth is full of vomit. Thank you for that. Thank you. When I was living in New York many, many years ago, I was a very cool hipster, like, I looked like an extra from The Hunger, I fancied myself very cool and cutting edge, but I was downright fucking virginal. And I was walking down the street one day, one night, very late, and I was on the phone with my roommate, Brad. And I was passing by this place on First Avenue, this karaoke bar, talking to Brad, but I'm so lonely, I'm coming home, so drunk. And the door opens, and this fucking diesel Calvin Klein model dude is on his phone, like, and there's a light mist. It's not rain, but he's, like, wet. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, it's a little bit like of a Brad Pitt flipping the hat moisture moment. And he looks at me, and I'm telling my friend, oh, my God, this guy's, like, looking at me. And he's like, you got to go back, and you got to talk to this guy. I'm like, well, I don't talk to strangers. Like, literally, it's fucking sad. And when I look back, the door to the karaoke bar closes, and I'm like, well, that was that. And then the door opens, and this hot fucking guy leans down, and he looks at me on his phone still, and he holds it to his chest, and he says, are you going to fucking come in here or what? And I'm like, whoop! Ba-doop, ba-doop, ba-doop. I go inside the karaoke bar. I say, hi, I'm David. And he says, hi, I'm David. It's on. I drunkenly sing some whole song to him. He seems to enjoy it. And that was funny in a way I didn't know. Then we go home that night. We suck the life force out of each other's faces in the back of a cab. And I remember this poor Indian man, his eyes in the rearview mirror, like, they will kill me, the homosexuals. He was so upset with us. And then we went to the guy's place. We, like, made out. We watched Hedwig, I think. I got really drunk. And then the next day I woke up. And have you ever woke up with someone who's so hot that when you see them the next day, you're like, this is not real. You know what I mean? Like, the sun was coming in and he was stretching on the bed. It was just like the ripples of abs. And I was like, I don't deserve it. And then over the next 2 weeks, he proceeded to tell me that I was the most special person he ever met. He proceeded to tell me he couldn't wait for me to meet his mother. It was all magical and it was all happening. And I was so excited. And then we were supposed to hang out a week later and I got the flu. And I was in my apartment in Spanish Harlem when my roommate came home. I'm in a robe. I have, like, tissues up my fucking nose. And behind my roommate comes David, the hottest guy ever. And he's like, I ran into your roommate on the train, and I'm here to take care of you. And I'm like, That night, he proceeded to recoil from me so many times. He, like, constantly, at one point I went to kiss him. He's like, you smell like Band-Aids. Like, it was, like, the worst unsexual thing in the whole world. And a few days later, he went home that night. A few days later, my stepfather had a heart attack. He's fine. And I called Dave and said, my stepdad had a heart attack. Could you be here for me now? And I never heard from him again. So, yeah, romance. That's all I've got. That's
David
all I got.
David Crabb. Great story. Amazing. Mary Birdsong.
Oh, wow. Band-Aids.
Yeah.
See, I think, well, here's what I'm saying. I don't blame him.
I don't either.
Because Band-Aids are not sexy.
But he came on my turf without any
He might be allergic to them. He might be allergic. This is what women do. No, you know what? He's probably allergic to Band-Aids. Seriously, I really think he is, right? The latex. It's a latex. It's a thing.
I wasn't wearing Band-Aids. It was just an insult. Like that, I just want to clarify. It was like looking at someone and being like, you smell like trash, honey. Like, you're not trash.
It reminds you, remember in Wet Hot American Summer, Paul Rudd saying, like, you smell like, you taste like burger.
Yeah. That's how he meant it.
You smell like Band-Aids.
Danny?
I mean, just, I've known you a couple times. You do smell like Band-Aids. And I think everybody should smell him afterwards. I find that to be a very, I love
Flintstone
that smell.
Band-Aids.
I love that smell.
It's a good smell. He smells
but
good.
I got to say, he can't handle you at your worst. He knows deserve you at your best.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And you always have to be wary of the ones that are so great up top. That's just like, you don't fucking know me. Stop doing that.
That snot face saved you months of heartache because he would have ditched you eventually.
Yeah.
I never tried.
The phlegm and all the other stuff that was going on with you.
Thank you.
It was like a preemptive snot attack that scared away someone. If he was going to be with you, he'd be with you here today.
But you really do smell fucking like Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah, that was very nice.
I stalked him to a bar not long after that because I got really drunk one night in my apartment, and I went back to the karaoke bar where we met because I knew he hung out there, and I followed him inside because I was that drunk, and he was on a date with another guy, and he was like, "Hi, David," and I was like, "Hi, David," and he's like, "This is my date, David." A third fucking David.
Fetish.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's a serial killer. Serial killer. Yeah.
Could be.
All right, you guys. David Crabb. Let him hear it. David Crabb.
Crabb. So good.
That was very exciting. Another great story. I'd say every storyteller up here tonight had a good story to tell.
This was a good night in terms of the storytelling.
I think it was as well. All right, you guys, put 1 minute on the clock. These guys have 1 minute to decide the winner of Story Smash. In the meantime, put your hands together for all of the storytellers tonight. Naomi Grossman, Wendy Wilkins, amazing. Iris, our audience member, she got all the way to the third round. Jonathan Bradley Welsh, amazing. David Crabb, of course. And one more time on behalf of Lindsay, the girl in the box office. Thanks, Lindsay. She always puts our name on the sign, and I appreciate that. Julian in the back. Thanks, Julian. Julie at the bar. Thanks, Julie. We're going to be over at the bar after this show is over. Feel free to come over, say hello. And I also want to tell you that this show will be up on the Storyworthy Podcast in about 3 weeks. So head over to storyworthypodcast.com and find it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find your podcasts.
Sometimes I find them at cute little vintage shops and they're on sale.
On Melrose. Yeah. I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Listen, I get my podcasts in karaoke bars.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, by the way, before we give the winner, I want to point out that Mark DiCarlo sitting here to my right. Tell him if you would, maybe we'll put a minute on the clock for fun.
Sure. Yeah.
And let these guys know. Could you redo that? Let them know about you winning a lot of money on the game show.
I was graduating from UCLA, didn't have a pot to piss in, and I decided, I'm from Chicago, and I wanted to get enough money to buy a used rabbit convertible. So I went on TV Sale the Century.
I was on that.
Were you really?
I won $20,000. Go on. Sorry.
Did you
Sale
really,
the
Danny?
Century with Jim Perry and Summer Bartholomew. So I went on. I won five. They go five shows in one day, so I won all five the first day. And won about $40,000. Then I went back the next day and I won the next five shows. So I was up to like 70 grand. I'm 20 years old. And at the end of the 10th show, they say, you can take all your money and go home, or you can come back, risk it for a $50,000 bonus.
Go home. Right?
I did. That's exactly what my mom said. I finished the fifth show and I'm thinking, and I was beating people by a lot. I said, oh, I'm going to come back. It'll be great. So I call my mom that night and I say, Mom, I did this and I did this. And she's like, really? Because I would make stuff up.
Yeah.
Really? No, my roommate gets on. He really did. He won $70,000. And I go, and I told him I'd risk it all to win another $50,000. And she goes, are you out of your fucking mind? So then I had Thursday off and I came back for an 8 o'clock call on Friday and I almost lost the show. It ends in a tiebreaker. Google it. On the YouTube, Mark DiCarlo, I won. I'm the all-time winner on TV Sale of the Century.
Well, how much did you win?
$115,000.
Wow!
A month after I graduated after UCLA, and then I started my comedy career because I didn't have to work.
Mark DiCarlo was buying beers in the bar after the show. All right, you guys, let's hear the winner of the show, Mary Birdsong. Would you go ahead as Kellyanne Conway and tell us the name of the winner, maybe a little bit about it?
Okay, Christine, I'll tell you. Just give me a sec, okay? Unbelievable. You people want to know who won. And I'm going to tell you, okay?
Okay.
David Crabb.
David Crabb! Ladies and gentlemen, let him hear it! On behalf of Danny, go ahead, what?
I wanted the super cute girl. I just want to point that out really
Danny
quickly.
Zucker, Mary Birdsong, Mark DiCarlo, Jonathan Bradley Welsh, Wendy Wilkins, let him hear it, guys, Naomi Grossman.
Congratulations,
Wendy Wilkins. Thank you so much, you guys. My name is Christine Blackburn. Good night.